You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Universe Podcast.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Garrett Hess.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. We got a lot to review this week. It's a big one. Yep. There's some major controversy going on in the world of podcasting. And there's no way we can't talk about it.
I'm excited.
I mean, people are removing their music from Spotify. If you haven't heard about this, then you've been living in a cave, because it is almost all anyone seems to be talking about. Neil Young, the legend that is, pretty upset. He's leaving Spotify. He said, it's me or Joe. And Spotify went, we're going with Joe.
It's tough call.
Joe on this one. But it was a lot of pressure. Other musicians have jumped on, and what can you say? Misinformation is the accusation of the day. Is it really, folks? What game are we playing here?
Can we call it truth seeking? Is that ever going to be an option, or is it going to be misinformation?
Well, it's misinformation when they don't agree, whoever the they are. You know? And it's gets me is exactly what Joe said in that 10-minute video he did, which I thought was very eloquent.
Epic.
And to the point.
There's no way you can't. I mean, when you listen to that and
look, people aren't going to like it still, but they weren't going to like anything he said. But what he said was very reasonable, and he said he'd make adjustments. But he's saying, look, what is misinformation? You know, the news reports on things, and then 2 weeks later they change what they heard. We're learning as we go.
That's the weird thing, man. It's like nobody wants to retract. It's like we're so far deep in the mud hole, you don't, like, you can't dig out. You're just like, let's keep digging, it feels like. Because misinformation is such a weird phrase to use, especially when it's like you had those two back-to-back doctors, and that's all we're basing it on. And he's, like, owning it throughout that video, saying that I should have a little bit of other people involved. I mean, he had Sanjay on. He's like, I'll talk to Fauci. I'll talk to anybody that's willing to come on. He just wants to know the truth. So it's a weird thing to try and, like, pigeonhole him and say that he's trying to do something. It seems like such a weird, offensive thing. He's like, nah, I love these people. Like, I think that video that he posted completely disarmed anybody. Like, how do you hang on to anything that you had after watching that? He's like, this is what I did. This was my intention. I'm trying to service, and I know my platform now, and I understand it. So I'm trying to be open to other forms of opportunity to see what other people are thinking about. So I don't know how that's become, like, villainized, you know?
Well, you're forgetting the power of the haters, my friend. They can hate anything.
It's all.
They can hate.
He gives a shout out to them in the video too. I mean, that you talk about somebody who's willing to just own stuff, and I don't see the other side at this point. Like, I don't understand. Show me where the villain is, because even somebody I talked to walking up the stairs today, I was like, did you hear that thing about, he said something about asking me about Rogan, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I follow him quite a bit, this and that, and he's like, he must be really right, and I'm like, and he's actually an older dude that's, super conservative to some extent, but I was like, not really. I was like, he likes gun rights, but he's also, like, for pro-healthcare and pro-education and a lot of the left things, so it's like this whole idea that you're just stuck in one category, it's such a, you're automatically a villain if you don't believe what the other person believes now. It seems like, and I don't want to say that COVID caused that or this, like, the vax thing is definitely like a line in the sand, obviously. But it's become the biggest line in the sand that I've really seen. But it seems to be dissipating of late. Have you noticed that at all? Or, like,
Well, the actions have, you know, things are getting more normalized, but the strong opinions still exist. And if you ever had any opinion that goes against the narrative, and remember, the narrative is still changing, right, even in popular media. It starts off where it all came from a wet market, then it maybe came from a lab, and that's okay, but you couldn't say that before. And then issues with the mask was one thing one way, and now it's different. It's like you can only change your mind when the news tells you to change your mind, and that's ridiculous. Why can you not ask questions on your own beforehand?
I mean, if anything, it's made me ask more questions now, just the fact that we have these conversations and listening to the conversations that he has. Like, I love seeing other angles. I love seeing, just tell me a different side so I can see your side. But just to say, no, you're wrong, and you're this, it seems, I mean, I don't even...
Well, especially because the First Amendment is really designed to be freedom of speech, meaning it will also be speech you don't like, right? And as long as it doesn't incite violence, even if it's incorrect speech, it's allowed. Now, you and I think Rogan, and most everyone else that's really sensible, doesn't want information that's incorrect across the board. Like, I still support the First Amendment, but if it's just, you know, if you're banging on about flat earth, it's like, all right, well, people shouldn't listen to you too much, right? Reasonable. But just because it doesn't go with exactly what you want to hear, and it's explorative, and you're asking questions, and you're at least seeking out information from very qualified individuals, it's not like it's him and Red Band stoned just making things up as they go. I mean, that would be different. He's talking to people that know a lot about what they're doing, whether they're right or wrong. He's still talking with them, and it's not like he doesn't discuss it with the other side. Like you said, Gupta came on. I mean, when is CNN ever just went, oh, we'll bring on someone that completely disagrees with us, other than them trying to make him look like a fool? Or when have they ever turned around and said, hey, guys, last week's story, we messed up, it wasn't correct, we try and do our best? No one else is doing that, man.
I mean, and he even says it himself. He's like, I didn't ask for this. I'm not out there trying to be some virtuous guy. He's like, I'm literally just having conversations with different folks that are, I mean, take Robert Malone and take the other guy that he's getting so scrutinized, Peter McCullough, over. They're the most publicized people in their fields. It's not like he's pulling some guy off the side of the street and saying, hey, let's have a conversation, let's try and fix COVID. He's like, let me find the two like most sought after guys and the one guy who helped write the mRNA vaccine and have a conversation about it. But that his narrative doesn't fit Pfizer and Johnson. So obviously it seems, I don't know, man. It's at this point, it's a tough pill to swallow to be like, all right, so you talk to somebody and look them dead in the face and be like, all right, so no fuckery is going on. Government's out for you. Everything that's going down is based on science, and you totally agree with that. You're good. There's going to be a hard pause there, right? So you got to be like, are you still doing that, or is it like, are we going to try and choose either a new story or a new narrative or like an alternative or something else? Because obviously what the fuck we've been talking about hasn't been working, right?
I just imagine that we are basically trying, like, this pressure that's been put on him in this podcast, right, is basically attempting to train everybody to not ask questions or even have conversations that go against what they're saying. And they stand behind the guys that, oh, well, yeah, but if you even have those conversations, people can die. It's like, hold on. You can't just say that at the end of everything. That's like those arguments where you're just calling everyone a racist just to close them down. It's like, it doesn't work like that. You have to have the discussions. People are allowed to ask they're allowed to talk and ask questions.
And think about...
And I think what he said about having people on to balance it afterwards, that is a great addition. What a beautiful... I'm happy for him to do that. I don't want the idea that a completely ridiculous narrative will be pushed
to be perfectly
I wouldn't enjoy that about the podcast.
To be perfectly honest with you, I would love to see a pro-vaccine person on there and explain to me why the vaccine is so valuable and how all these like side conspiracies and all these other things. Please debunk all this. I would love to hear it. Like, show me the other side. Because of this, I mean, what wouldn't be better than that? I would love to have other people on the side. And to be honest, I mean, that's great to hear that.
And he's had a bunch of other right. doctors on. He's had Sanjay on. He talked about it in that right. video. He's had
I don't think there's a whole lot of people on that side that are willing to speak up at this point, because it seems like it's a work in progress. That's this whole like science thing in general, right? Like science is.
Well, they certainly want to write a lot of letters to right. Spotify, so. You know, it's like, okay, you're willing to do that? Are you willing to go on his show? I don't think that he's not having people on that are willing to discuss this, because Joe is trying to figure this out like everyone else is. He's like, who do I need to talk to? Who knows? Who's convincing me?
These are real human lives that are involved. So regardless of what team you're on or what side you believe in, it's like if you care about people that are close to you, you're trying to find a solution to this sickness. But that said, isn't it an interesting thing? I don't know if it was a meme or something I saw, but it's like, we beat COVID. It's like somehow COVID became fuck homelessness, fuck hunger, fuck poverty, fuck anything else that's going on. Like, we will beat COVID. It's like, how did that become like the central focus? Did we just get caught up in this twilight zone of like only thing we focus on is beating COVID? Like, even the less fortunate are like walking around with masks on, and like I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to be that's become like the central focus, and there's got to be a lot more going on that we're just not looking at clearly.
Well, initially, it made perfect sense because we didn't know enough about it, and we thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was, and that should have been our major right. focus. But now we're years in. We're more divided than ever, and people are arguing like crazy. And it's like, okay. I mean, England, I was just there. England now have no restrictions. The masks are off, everything. Yeah. And they were more locked down than most places I saw in the U.S. just a few weeks ago. It's over. And yet here, we're still discussing.
It said, I will say that it said February 15th was like they had to re-vote on it again. So it's like, how much longer are you going to do this? It's just like, we see Gavin Newsom. I don't know if I send you that thing. Gavin Newsom, Magic Johnson, another politician are all at the fucking Lakers game or the Clippers game, all maskless. And I'm like, if anybody's still buying into this, like, we went into Home Depot the other day and had to do some, like, moving and whatnot. And I feel like I'm putting my foot down when I'm going to rent a truck from Home Depot and I don't put a mask on now. I'm like, this is me putting my foot down. So I went in there and did it. Nobody says anything. It's like, all right, this guy, he's already moved on.
Well, it's strange because up here in Bozeman, you don't have to go into Home Depot with a mask on. Like, very few people are wearing one. And those people that are, good for them. Yeah. If you're concerned about, you know, your own health, and if you think you have COVID, you should stay home. But if you're worried about catching it, then good for you for wearing a mask. Like, it's reasonable.
I said to Alicia, this is not me laughing this off or being disrespectful, but anytime I see somebody with a mask like outside or wearing two masks, we're sitting in the Spectrum getting the internet hooked up the other night, and I'm like, that guy, I mean, he really cares. He cares a lot more about me than I care about him, unfortunately. Apparently. Is that the... if you have two masks, you like really like you either you really.
But he probably has to do that for work though. It's probably not his choice. It's probably
I've worn
to.
A bandana and felt like I've been choked out. To wear two masks is like a scuba diving situation.
Yeah, I would just invest in one really good one instead of two.
Like a designer,
ones.
Like a Gucci mask that probably makes you breathe better.
Yeah. But look, back to more of the issue. I mean, this is more of an issue of freedom of speech than it is what the actual discussion is. Because this is how it happens. It's like freedom of speech breaks down if you get a big enough group of people that decide what you're saying can't be said, regardless of what the issue is. So regardless of whether this is about, you know, misinformation or blah, 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 it's like, okay, look, does it break freedom of speech? And if not, does it break the platform's rules And since it's podcasting, it's not like other social media, and it's not television, so there isn't restrictions like that. I mean, he's not breaking a law, and I think, and a lot of people do think, that he's having very responsible conversations. Could he do it better? Yeah, he said that he could, but...
On the other side...
I don't know. Are the news being this responsible?
That was my next question to you. It's that if you have to give a disclaimer prior to the Joe Rogan show, so shouldn't you as CNN have to give a disclaimer saying, we don't know if this is 100% true?
No, they won't, because that takes away their legitimacy, and they think they're righteous.
That's the problem, right? Because you and I see that, and I think the vast majority of people do see that. So if you're still buying into the fact that they get ad revenue from dryer sheets and that makes their news broadcast like legitimate or by Pfizer, it's like maybe these other people that don't have as much like disconnect or whenever they're compromised, I should say, because they don't have to play to a narrative. That's exactly what Rogan does, right? He doesn't have to play to anybody's thing. That's what Spotify's always done and supported him. So it's
Yeah, I mean, I'd be concerned if all of a sudden Rogan was suddenly sponsored by Pfizer and then he never said anything negative again or even criticized the vaccine. I mean,
that might be a red flag, wouldn't you say?
Bit of a red flag, I'd say.
I don't
say,
know.
Yeah.
So you don't hear anybody in CNN or any of these other big companies ever saying anything against the big companies or narratives. Could that be a correlation? It couldn't. Right?
Maybe we shouldn't be so hard on CNN. I just can't remember the other news.
Fox. Fox is the hard right. But
yeah, that one's way over. Oh,
that's so according to the news feeds now and the articles you read, Rogan is as far right as they come. Meanwhile, I don't know.
Which is just not
the only
true.
Thing. The only thing sense. That I associate and. Silly conversation to have to be like people's views or anything or their stances on situations because they change every day, but he's always been pro-gun and then pretty liberal every other way that I can understand.
I mean, I don't know how pro-gun he was before he started hunting. I know he bought a gun way back when he moved to California, but you know, I think more of that is just like education through the hunting practice. Right. And learning it that way, but there's probably not many other issues that you could get him on that side. It just doesn't matter now. Once they labeled him and they connect him to like Jordan Peterson, who we'll talk about in a minute, or any of the right wing people, nobody pays attention to the fact that he has any liberal people on, which is like pretty much every comedian he has on. 85%
of the people on his show are probably as left.
That would be an interesting stat to take. If you took all his guests from the beginning of time and figured out their and made like a pie graph, I bet it would be well over 50% Democrats and liberals. No doubt. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You say one thing, the other direction, and that's what you are, and you'll be that forever, and good luck. And it's like, come on now. Is this how we talk to each other these days?
Nobody's ever made him a... I don't even know that it's hard to say. Like, it's like I want to sit here and be like, he made a mistake. It's like he just kind of opened us all up to a different way of thinking with those last two podcasts that apparently the mainstream media did not want you to see. Obviously, that's why it's become such a big issue, if we're being honest. Because, I mean, that's just what it is. It's like we're trying to demonize situations. It's like, we just had a different angle.
I'll tell you what. So, and I said it last week, but Russell Brand did another excellent video about Rogan's apology.
I watched that.
You know, or his, what he said, right? And it's like 15 minutes long. I'll put a link in the bio so you guys can just, as soon as you're done listening to this, or just stop now.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we're going to say that's interesting, but definitely check out Russell's thing because the way he puts it together is brilliant, and he gives a real breakdown and connects a lot of things. He's just doing such a good job. I mean, it's amazing that the silly, funny, lovable comedian from England that is now really one of the best sources of news that you can pick up, in my opinion. Say, and they're just opinions, if you, folks. Don't
if you had to
me.
Have,
if you, all right, we'll do it.
Yeah, that's one fine. Way or the other. If you had to pick a guy or a couple of guys to put in a room and like kind of chat, obviously we kind of idolize these guys just because we they get so many views and they're celebrities or whatever. But you look at them and then you see how free thinking Russell Brand and Joe Rogan are. Like, can you imagine having a conversation with two people like Fauci and, let's say, Gavin Newsom? Let's just put all four of those people in a room and see how that conversation unfolds. Two people that are not funded by anybody else, and two people that are funded by a couple of other folks. And let's see how that conversation unfolds.
Dude, Gavin Newsom would never come on and talk about, like, if he was brave, if he was like really righteous and believed in what he was preaching, he would come on because he would know how to defend it. He would believe it. But he knows he would just get squashed because there's so many things that he's done that are just pretty outrageous. And he doesn't want that scrutiny. He's only going to go to places that are going to kiss his ass. Yeah. Look, let's jump over to the guests of the week. Who we got? We got Jordan Peterson.
Monster.
We have Valentin Thomas, and then Juliana Penna. We'll see if we get to everybody. This podcast is brought to you by Best Spoke Post. This winter, upgrade your daily routine with Best Spoke Post and their new seasonal lineup of must-have box of awesome collections. Best Spoke Post partners with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every month. I really enjoyed the Weekender box. That's a great bag with a bunch of cool stuff inside. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from winter cocktails to cozy threads and camping gear essentials. Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs about $45, yet has over $70 worth of cool gear inside. There's a bunch of really cool shit in there. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything in the box comes from a small business. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code JRER. That's boxofawesome.com, code JRER for 20% off. We shall see. So, look, Jordan Peterson needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Canadian, doctor of psychology. He's a psychologist, does therapy, was a lecturer. Super smart guy. Some great books, 12 Rules. You know, we all know who he is, but I'm doing these little intros now anyway. I've decided. So, he starts out with a little bit of controversy. For some reason, he jumps into climate after Joe said something about having a climate person on. And man, did he get himself into some trouble. I don't know enough about climate to say whether he's right or wrong. And I don't even want to start with it. I just wonder why he went down that. As soon as he started doing it, I was like, oh, this is going to cause some problems.
I got to give him credit, dude. He's consistent on his thought process. Regardless of subject, it's always what makes sense and what's the science of it. Fortunate or unfortunate, who's hurt, lives affected. A lot of the things that go on in his conversations seem to be like pushing certain classes and certain things to the wayside. He's a very sensitive and thoughtful guy. He really is. It's interesting. I've had like back and forth DMs with a couple of people about him, about how he's like misogynistic and this, that, and the other. I was like, he has a daughter and a wife that he like cries when they talks about him. Like he's a thoughtful guy. He's not a, it's a weird thing to like put these people in these like little categories and make them certain people because he's not, he's really not like at all. Like, listen to what he says, see the feeling in what he's saying. He's not saying it because he's skewed because of an alternative like perspective. He's like, this is what makes sense to me, and like from a scientific standpoint, this is what I've researched and read about, so this is what I'm regurgitating and showing you. So it's like, to judge somebody on that seems so, I don't know, you tell me.
I think a lot of this frustration and kind of hatred is coming from sound bites. You know, it's not coming from someone that's read his book or seen hours and hours of his lectures. I mean, I probably have watched, I've probably seen over 20 hours of his lectures that I've sat and watched, like, over the years. I mean, he's been around for a while. And, you know, when you look at somebody in that detail, then you can start to have, like, a real opinion. But a lot of the people that I speak to that have kind of frustration or hate towards anyone have not paid attention. You know? And I was trying to think the other day. I was like, who do I kind of want to cancel? And I'm like, well, no one. There's no one I want to.
That's what went through your head.
Right? Yeah. I was just thinking, like, if I had the option, right? And I was getting worked up about something. I'm like, yeah, people annoy me. There's politicians that annoy me. There's people in the news or media or celebrities that kind of get annoying. And I'm just like, okay, who do I really dislike? And no one enough. And then I thought, even the people that I could consider that with, if I like really had to pick someone, right, I'm like, someone's twisting my arm, I gotta pick someone. Then I realized, oh, I don't even know really anything about them, so I don't have an opinion. I'd have to if you're willing to really hate someone or dislike them, I'd say put some time into figuring out who they are, like, justify your position. That's reasonable.
And if you're going to spend that time, you're obviously going to have to do the research on the person. So once you start listening to the person, then you don't automatically have a bias, because you're like, oh, they were talking about tweets and things you would say in front of people and the things you would say. I mean, they mentioned that about how he still dives into the tweets from now and again. And he's like, I think it's just that. And Joe's like, don't do that. He says that to every guest, but
don't do that. It's depressing.
But it's like, you always want to, like, you want, especially from a clinical psychologist standpoint, I'm sure he has everybody reaching out to him, and it's everybody's best day, and either that or it's the complete opposite, right? It's either you're having your best day or you fucking hate this dude because he's XYZ because of the sound bites. But it's like, if you ever had a conversation face to face, you'd probably 99.9% of the time come out with that individual feeling a lot better about face to face interaction, right?
No doubt you would like most people you speak to if you got time to sit down and talk with them. I think that is probably just what's going to happen, because even if you find that you disagree fundamentally on this side and this side, having that dialogue would kind of give you a bit of space for the idea. And also, you know, those types of ideas are not everything that a person is. That person could still be a very kind, thoughtful person, and you're like, well, I like who they are, I just disagree with some of the elements of how they think. But to just jump on them and be like, this is all bullshit and they're the worst and they should be canceled, you're like, all right, slow down, just listen to something else. You don't have to listen to this podcast, to Joe's, to any podcast. You don't have to. It's your choice. Watch something else.
I remember him saying that. Yeah, he's like, you don't have to. He's like, if you don't like it, just turn it off. I don't want to hurt anybody. Like literally, like,
it's not enough today though, man. It's not enough. People don't feel they don't feel like satisfied enough to just be like, turn it off. They're like, how dare other people listen to this? It's like, what? Chill out. Let them listen. It's okay. People are going to go watch the Jackass movie. What do you think that's doing for humanity, except being an awesome
movie? I can't
remember
who I was listening to today, but they were talking about like Neil Young being a rock star and whatnot and always having to like stand up to the man. And it's like, Joe Rogan is standing up to the man. The man is Anthony Fauci. The man are these. Like,
yeah, the man is now Neil Young.
And he's like, you're the rock star, man. You're supposed to like stand up to the man and stand up to the like association and all that stuff. But you're like standing up to the guy who's standing up to the guy. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
it's definitely the least rock star thing.
It's gross.
Neil Young's
I gotta tell you too. Not like that. I don't know if you're familiar with this girl named Brené Brown. I love Brené Brown, to be honest with you. She talks about vulnerability. I've watched quite a few of her like Netflix things. She's a motivational speaker, but she kind of got on board with the same narrative with Neil Young, saying that she's not going to drop any more shows based on the Rogan thing. And she's like, her whole thing is like kindness and love and this and that. And it's like, have you ever listened to Joe Rogan? Because if you ever listen to his show, all he does is embrace. Like, even throughout that whole little speech he did on that video, all he did was embrace those people and say how much he thought, like, was thoughtful of them. Remember that? I mean, about Neil Young and...
Dude, it's undeniable that a part of this is that, you know, remember, too, these people are getting publicity.
Sure.
Right. Right? You put your name on this and say, you know what would be hilariously ironic is if we said we're pulling our show from Spotify unless they remove Joe. And then people will be like, wait a second, but don't you review his show? We're like, we're taking a stand. How dare you?
That is
That's
a good point, man. That is a good point. It's an interesting time. I would hope that would not be the thought, but I saw this meet.
Dude, that's a part of it for sure. That's a part.
I saw the exact.
What's
it said? Nickelback will be putting more music on Spotify now that Joe has been retained.
It's like their threat. We will now, release that.
That's what it's.
You.
It's like the other side of the pendulum. It was pretty funny though. I liked it.
That's great. That's great. Let's go into one thing that Jordan talked about, which I really liked, is when he was discussing hanging out with Guy Ritchie, right? And Guy Ritchie is the director of such classic movies as Snatch, and he did the King Arthur movie, and a bunch of other legendary
movies. Lock, Stock, and Two Smokes?
Yep, he did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And what was cool about it is Jordan discussed the kind of hero's journey elements of it.
Point.
Right? So the King Arthur movie, I think, is really underrated. Not a lot of people cared for it, but I'm a huge fan of that movie. My buddy Eli and I will watch that thing like once a month. I don't know why. We just love it. I think it's great. And what it discusses is this person's journey, like fall from grace, kind of raised in the brothel, and then heads out into the darkness of the woods and has to learn to control the power of this sword. And it's just like this process of like human development that comes from kind of a lot of older stories, you know, through history have kind of told this. And for him to bring it back and make a movie and discuss it. But there's actually a video that it's like a clip of Rogan talking to Guy Ritchie that kind of discusses this. I'm also going to put a link in the bio for that. It's about 15 minutes long, but it's really eloquent, and it's Guy Ritchie just discussing kind of what that means. And I just think it's an important breakdown of that type of story for people to hear. Like, there are dark times, there are difficult periods in your life, and it kind of explains the growth through it. So instead of just thinking you're super unlucky at a certain period, it's showing you that through this darkness, through these challenges, through this like difficult stuff, right? There are actually gems. There's gold that you can get out of it. Like, you become stronger.
You get it out of it 100%. Like, not to interrupt, isn't there such a good story to be told about that? Like, I even find myself in the middle of the time. It's like, sometimes you just got to thank yourself for the losses at the same time. It's not easy in the moment, but you get to look back on it, and it's like,
it certainly
that's
isn't
what makes the story, though, you know what I mean? Because if it's all fucking unicorns and rainbows, you wouldn't know the other side. So it's dark sometimes, but in the darkness, there's only the other side is the light, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But you're right. It's almost impossible to see it in the moment. And that's, you know, that's probably where a lot of depression and a lot of hopeless feelings come from, is because it is hard to see it. It's hard to see that might be the time of your life where the most growth is going to come. And I mean, to think that everybody gets these challenges, like, there's no way this whole thing hasn't stressed Joe out. Like, no way. It doesn't matter how wealthy he is or how famous. Or this has been a difficult thing for him to navigate. He's like, holy shit, here we go. Let's figure this out.
Multiple times. He's like, I didn't ask for this. He's like, I didn't ask for it. He's like, I literally, and throughout that conversation, he's like, I don't premeditate. He's like, I have bullet points from time to time, but I don't like premeditate what's going to come out of my mouth. He's like, I'm just spitting off the cuff. That's what we do here. That's what people do in life when it's not scripted, right? So to have this expectation of how certain people are supposed to react or certain things they're supposed to say, or the idea that you're not supposed to talk to other people about different viewing thoughts is just silly. Like, there's no explanation for that. There's just none. There's
yeah, but people don't agree, man. There's a lot of people today with how polarized it is that are saying, well, yeah, I agree with the First Amendment, but I don't agree with this. And you're like, well, that's
fine.
Thing.
So shouldn't we raise the question? Shouldn't Joe get on ESPN, but CNN and be like, hey, okay, who would you guys like to have on the podcast? I'd be more than happy to have an open, long-form conversation with anybody who's on the other side. Let's do it.
Yeah, but if he does that, though, then he's opening the door to, like, them just having basically more control over his show. It's like, what, every time they write a bad article or they accuse him of something, he has to make an adjustment?
Well,
that's not going to work
for
his show.
But that's obviously already been a thing, because now he has to give that disclaimer prior to every show. And we made mention of that whole stock situation. It was a weird thing that the clickbait was Spotify down $4 billion after Joe Rogan's statements. Like, I've read that on my Facebook and Instagram feed multiple times today, and it's like, where did you come up with that number?
Well, the problem with that is, and I'm looking at the Spotify stock right now, over the last year, according to Cash App, which is where I'm getting my current information on my phone, it's down 40.99% over the last year. Okay? Over the last month, it's gone down 17.4%. Wow. And over the last week, which is really when all this controversy has happened, it's gone up 18.06%. So maybe they're just saying over the period of a year it's lost that much, but it hasn't been since he said it. I mean, today it's up 3.75%.
This reminded me of the Elon situation, right? When they said,
so
it seemed like clickbait for the Elon situation. And then tomorrow, everybody who didn't know about Rogan is going to know about him now. If you didn't know about him last night, you're going to know about him now. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, guys, just go out and buy his Spotify stock. That's what I think. Let's just pump this thing through the roof.
Get him fired up.
Let's support Spotify for not, like, turning Joe off, which I don't know if they could, but they shouldn't.
Not at all. I wanted to talk about one situation that he talked about, Guy Ritchie, and how artistic he was about how he did those movies. He would say, Jordan said that when he talked to Guy Ritchie, that when he was doing these movies like Snatch and whatnot, he would just put the characters in the space and say, this is kind of like, he'd write the description of the scene that he wanted and let them just kind of impromptu the dialogue. And I was like, what better way to, like, when you got like real quality actors that are like seasoned, to just like put them in a situation and have them just let the scene unfold. Like, you just have this thought process behind it, and then you just kind of watch this painting unfold.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, to think about, I think his best character ever was Brad Pitt 100%. In Snatch. And he's had obviously some amazing actors work for him and a bunch of great characters, but what Brad Pitt was
Spike.
Unbelievable. And to think that he had the opportunity to kind of play with that role and make it what he wanted to. I mean, I've always liked Brad Pitt as Tyler Durden in Fight Club. That was one of my favorite characters he ever played, and he's had a bunch of great movies, but the guy in Snatch was just, it's hard.
I've seen that movie.
He just nailed it.
Probably right up there with all like 10 timers.
It's so good. So many great scenes in that movie. It's absolutely brilliant.
Like,
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's a fascinating dude. Man,
he's done it all too.
He's definitely he's a badass and a legit black belt.
I get
it.
I gotta say, getting older and just like not, I mean, my palate's not that far-fetched, but even just seeing, like, and hearing these back-ended conversations about the art that unfolds from these, like, chefs and directors and whatnot, like, I've gained a new perspective on how they see things, which has made me appreciate the art that much more. Whereas if I didn't hear these conversations prior to, I don't think that I probably would. You know what I mean? Just because I haven't really submersed myself into those fields. So it's like hearing that angle, I'm like, oh, man, I can see how you come. That's like playing the guitar or something, you know?
It's really cool to hear, like, the creative endeavor right. of people and their, like, creative thought process. It's very right. interesting. And it's really inspiring, too. I mean, I'm not a super creative person. You know, like, I don't play any instruments. I suck at drawing. I mean, this, I don't have a lot of it. I can't write music or, you know. So to hear it is really fascinating stuff. You're like, wow, that's just the freedom of thinking.
I mean, it inspires you a little bit. It inspires me to at least, like, try and think outside of the box a little bit. Hearing these other people talk about it, it's like, oh, well, I mean, they're not that much different than us. We're all just...
Sure. Hopefully it's making us less,
like,
which is all we can ask.
That girl, too. Speaking of which, that girl, is it Valentina that was the...
Let's finish up real quick with one thing I want to say about Jordan, though, is he is making that essay app.
Oh, that's going to be good.
I can't remember what it's called, but I think it's just called Essay. But people learning how to write is kind of an art that we're losing. People aren't learning to write. People are graduating with undergraduate degrees, and they really can't write, and it's a shame. And it's a valuable tool to have. I mean, it's one thing to try and talk in an articulate way, but to write that way is very powerful. So I hope that the app comes out soon. I can't wait to try it. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I encourage everyone to give it a try if they want to improve their writing, because that's hopefully it's a great way to do it. That's all I had to say about that. Let's jump over to Valentin Thomas, and then you can say whatever you were going to say.
I was going to say, maybe we should call it the texting app, just because... like, people only text these days anyway, so you should probably know how to text correctly, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, what is texting correctly? Learning, like, LOL, like, and...
KKK.
Mostly curious. Emojis. It's like you learn what all the emojis
the
mean.
The big K and the small K, because that means you mean okay, I think. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
the KK.
I don't know what that really means.
Okay.
Anyway... yeah, the Valentin girl, she was 30, I believe she said she was 34, and she was a lawyer for the longest time, and then just decided to go spearfish and jump off of boats and jump off of oil rigs. And she said that she held her breath, and this was the biggest thing that stood out to me, that this has become such a normalcy for people to be able to do this for so long. But she said that she could hold her breath free diving for 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
And she said she's not even that good of a free diver. That sounds like a long time.
Oh, my God. I try and hold my breath under the hot tub for like 30 seconds, and I do it slow. Now I think about her all the time, so I try and push it to like 40, 45. But I'm thinking, you got 5 minutes on me? And you got a spear in your hand, and you got sharks surrounding you and whatnot? Like, that's a different fucking ball game.
Well, the hot tub is not a good place to do that. You probably want cold water. If you're going to attempt to hold your breath. But fair play to her. I mean, what an interesting endeavor just to take up. And I don't even know if she... it isn't like she was an amazing spear fisher person her whole life. She just was passionate about it, got into it, has like over 300,000 Instagram followers. So I guess that's where she creates most of her revenue.
I'm sure being on Rogan last time didn't hurt her cause, but yeah, absolutely, that's awesome.
Oh, no doubt.
It seems like she's going to be successful at whatever she does. She seems to be
a great attitude for sure. And I wish she kind of talked about spearfishing a bit more, actually, because I've always wanted to try that. It sounds dope,
dude. To throw a spear.
There's a lot going on.
Just in air. Can you imagine through water?
Well, you don't throw it. They have. Oh, it's like a.
Is it like a?
It's on a like a elastic band or a spring.
I think there's like real deal spear fishermen, and I think there's like crossbow fishermen. But I imagine.
Well, yeah, but those spearfisher people are outside of the water, throwing it into the water. She's under
so
it.
A mechanical.
Yeah, so it's like a spear connected to what looks like a rifle length, and it fires out, and then it has like a cord connected to it, so you can get
totally
the fish in.
Puts a damper on my thought that I had. I thought there was just like mermaids.
What did you think she was doing? Throwing spears underwater?
Chucking spears. Mermen well just chucking spears like with one fin.
Mer people.
I don't know. Mer they.
Seal skin boots. That sounds like the way forward. How cold did she say she could
go
with those things?
That's what you want if you're climbing Everest with a tank top. I want some seal skin boots.
It makes sense you would find the animals that live in the coldest environments and use their skin, right?
100%. It doesn't sound like they would weigh like not very much. They probably are pretty heavy, but it sounds like they're pretty insulated. Some seal fat. If I'm climbing down a cold-ass mountain, I want some seal fat on my ankles.
Well, what did she say the coldest temperature she experienced was negative 57 Celsius or something?
Yeah, what is that? A lot.
Very cold, it's like dude. That's like you die.
It's like
real fast.
Bozeman,
that's how cold that
February,
is.
February. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Bozeman doesn't even get that cold. That's insane.
That is.
Did you think the story about the origin of the Somali pirates was interesting?
That's funny.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that they got into that because other countries fucked up their fishing and water by polluting, and then they just said, hey, screw this.
I wonder how much of history has been written like that. That's what that made me think. Right after they told that story, I was like,
Well, again, it's easy to demonize people if you don't know their story, right? It's easy to be like, oh, yeah, they're terrible people. It's like, well, maybe they don't want to be pirates. Maybe
they
want to fish.
That doesn't seem like a natural progression. They're like, oh, we just wanted to feed our families, and then we decided that you guys took all our fish, and if we took one of you, we could get more money and get our families back. What are we going to do?
Yeah. It makes me want to go watch that Tom Hanks movie again. And I'm like, oh, they're doing their best.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting predicament to be in whenever that's...
Turns out Tom Hanks is the bad guy in that movie all along. You just don't notice.
I mean, I think that there's probably a lot of history that's been written in that kind of lens. Yeah.
Well, don't they say that the winners write the history?
That's a good point.
You know, kind of makes sense. It's like,
that's
man,
a good point.
If you want a good story, you got to win. You got to win that war.
I guess because the losers aren't writing the books, unfortunately.
No, they got wiped out. They got wiped out.
Well,
so there we go. All right, that's pretty much it for her. I thought she was cool. I like her. I hope she comes back on. She's making an app, right? A breathing app or a meditation app.
I think she'll be
something.
Successful with that.
It'd be good to check out. I feel like we got a lot of breathing meditation apps, but maybe one more is good. Let's add one more. Get it in there. All right. Juliana Pena.
Upset of the century, huh? I remember watching those fights. It was one of those moments where, I mean, the first one, it was another pre-card that was supposed to, like, a lockdown. And that one got missed. Like, I can't remember. It was like a total bet on the underdog. You would have made a million. And then the second one right after that was them too.
It was
correct.
The Juliana
that
fight.
That was like the
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the odds are. I'm pretty sure Nunes was definitely the favorite.
It was
favorite.
Huge.
But yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing when Juliana was just lighting her up with strikes. Stood right in front of her, right in the pocket, I couldn't believe it. It was unreal.
It was so fun. That was one of the
it was
one
so
of the best
fun
back and
that.
Forth in any MMA fight I've ever seen.
Dude, oftentimes the female fights in the UFC are my favorite ones to watch. They just continuously go like that, and it really is going that way. There's so many great fighters, and I don't know. It's like a different energy when they come in because they're often so much more passionate. You take Thug Rose. I mean, the passion that she goes in with and what it means to her to win, and then watching her just knocking people out, it just, I don't know, man. It's moving. Well, they were tough. It is really impressive.
Great to see that. And she was talking about having a female in the booth too, and how vital that could be. Like, I was like, that's a great idea. You should have a female in the booth with. Well, he was talking about having her with him in DC, but he's like, who else would we have? And then besides you, because she kind of made her case while she was there that she could probably hang and do that. But I was, outside of her, there hasn't been anybody that you would be like make a case for. You know what I mean? But when she kind of like pled her case there, I was like, I could see you being in the booth.
Yeah, no doubt she'd do a great job. I mean, she knows so much about fighting. She's super passionate. Good speaker. She was good on that. I mean, Joe was saying, hey, start a podcast. I think she definitely should. I mean, even in the world of there's 10 million podcasts, I say if you want to start one, do it. And I'll support it because I think it's
absolutely
great. You know, even if no one barely ever listens, which they would to her because she's a champ, but if you're just if you're not the champion of the world in UFC and you want to start one, still do it because it's great practice for a lot of things. And, you know, you'll learn a lot from it. But for her to do it, I think that would be an excellent thing to do. And also these fighters do need to think about what they are going to do after fighting. And thank God there's been a bunch of fighters like Brendan Schaub and others that have kind of paved the way. Like, they've created paths of like, this is what you can do when you get out, and you can enjoy it and make money, and you know, you don't need to keep doing those awful fights when you're way past your prime, when you're just getting completely sparked out, and it's just brutal to watch. I mean, I still have not got over that last Tito Ortiz Chuck Liddell fight. It just haunts me to know that even happened. I was like, God, guys, what are we doing? I love you both, but this is
just
painful.
Keeping it going at an old age. Yeah, I mean she made a lot of innuendos to that too. She's like, the window we have here is very short. So she's like, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. She made reference to that multiple times, which is totally understandable. She made her way on The Ultimate Fighter, which has got to be a cool little experience. But I mean, I think she'd be great, like, as the coach of The Ultimate Fighter and kind of the spokesperson for women's MMA at this point, like, because everybody else has kind of dropped off as far as like Holly Hunter, and I mean, I can't really think of anybody other than, I mean, you only have
Holly Holmes
and Ronda Rousey and whatnot, but like, it seems like she could be the new face of all of it. Like, she's just the up and coming bright little spirit. Like, I don't know.
Oh, for sure. If she gets a couple of good title defenses in, if she beats Nunes again and then beats a couple of the other girls and then, you know, really cements herself as a champ, I mean, she's going to be ginormous. And, yeah, just huge. Good on her. I mean, yeah. I love that story that Joe was, when he was talking about how he, like, never gets burnt out when it comes to commentating or watching fights or working for that job. Like, really loving your job. I mean, what a privilege and an honor. And it's nice to hear that, too, because the last thing you want is thinking even people that you admire and, like, listening to are kind of tired of doing what they do, and it's just like they're running through the motions to get a paycheck. I mean, you know, it's almost like watching Letterman at the end of his career. It's like, yeah, he was still funny, but he didn't want to be there.
Good on Joe for sure, because I couldn't agree more with you. But like, watching people like come within an inch of their life, it's hard to not either be on board or not on board with something like that. You know what I mean?
That's way too exciting of a job for him to be like staring into space, like, half on his phone, going, "Oh yeah,
I've done this before." Good. You're like, that guy almost lost his right arm. Like, I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I could see.
Yeah, but when you hear he was on a national TV show, news radio, making good money, building his career, trying to be taken seriously, and then he's also flying around the country, going to podunk towns, doing what did he say, 15 free fights, not getting paid, just doing it because he loved it. He would tell Dana, get me some tickets for my friends. People even gave him criticism about it. They were like, what are you doing?
I love that story.
You know, because it was, back then, it was seen as kind of gross.
I love that story.
I mean, I used to watch it back then, and people I knew would be like, "What do you watch that crap? Like, that's
are you a cannibal?"
I'm like, "Okay, well,
I don't know. Right? I like it. Sorry,
are you a cannibal? That's misinformation. Don't watch it." I'm like, "Well, it's, I think it's good. I think one day it'll be
are
good."
You watch, no, are you watching Jerry Springer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Oh, that's what I thought. Cool story, bud.
Yeah. Also a good show, shout out.
No, Jerry but I will Springer. Say that I like hearing Joe say that story. But it was refreshing to hear that, you know what I mean? Like, and to hear his breakdown, too, about where he lived as far as, I can't remember what he said from the first few years, then he was, like, Florida, then he was, like, Boston for these chunks of his life. And you kind of see, like, where people come from and the different paths that he took. He broke it down very literally in these past few podcasts, and I was like, oh, now I can kind of
yeah, he's moved all over.
You can
over,
see
man.
Like where he was as a child.
It defined right. who he was in absolutely. A lot of ways. What did he actually say? So he was born in New Jersey. Then he moved to
Florida,
San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco first. Then Florida, then Boston.
Then he went out to I think it's Gainesville, right. Florida, and then moved up to right. Boston, and then that's when he did his martial arts and eventually comedy and. I guess he must have moved to LA after that, right? That's where he would have done news radio.
Dude, he tells his whole story too. It's so interesting hearing all this backlash, but it's like he tells his whole story throughout those past two podcasts or whatever, and he's like, I was beat up a lot as a kid. I was bullied a lot, so I went and did martial arts, and then I became this person that I am and found a focus, and then I decided to do this, and then I decided to do this, and now I'm in this situation, and now I'm trying to find the truth, and now I'm getting scrutinized. But it's like, now I see like, a guy that came from where he comes from, it's like you could see he's seeking the truth out, because that's what he's been doing his whole life. So like, why wouldn't he stop now?
Yeah, I think people just have a hard time with the fact that the Fear Factor guy is as popular as this. I mean, I feel like it's almost what
dude,
it comes down to.
The fucking Apprentice was the fucking president of the United States. So let's move along.
That's a good point.
Like, and good on...
Yeah. What are we doing?
Who are we...
Good on everyone. Good on you for being successful.
Agreed.
Well done. Well, yeah, that's the controversy, guys. That is this week. Big week in the world of Spotify, Neil Young, and others. Like I said, I'll put some links in the bio to the Russell Brand video. I'll put the Guy Ritchie one on there. I think they're really cool. Check them out. Let me know what you think. It's just a little bit extra to get out of the pod and see if you enjoy it. And, yeah,
free
that's it. We will see you guys
Joe Rogan.
Next week.
Free Joe Rogan.
Free peace, speech, people.
Peace,
keep
peace,
going. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate
peace
it.
And love.
Bye.